It's sort of very much written in the same vein as your commentary, which we carry. I mean, is that something you did on purpose to kind of make it go down easier, or just to make it more readable, or is that just you?
Well, I wanted to be user-friendly, but I wanted to write it in a voice that people recognized as genuine and authentic and not some stale and sterile and sort of cold and indifferent, very cautious book. This is vivid and bold, and one of the political consultants I know read the book and said, oh my gosh, this is nothing like most books written by people who might run for office. And I said, that's a wonderful compliment, because I don't want to write a book like that. I want to write something that speaks to people where they actually live, something that when they start reading it, they want to continue reading it, and they don't buy it just for the signature in the front of it. If they get it signed, they buy it and read it because they enjoy it and because it speaks to their heart, not just to their head.
All right. By the way, are you good for about 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Let's get into some of the book. You attempt to explain Bubbaville versus Bubbleville and Bubblevillers, you know, the D.C., New York, L.A., Trioka, and everyone else pretty much lives in Bubbaville. And how big a disconnect is there, Governor, between people that live in Bubba versus Bubbleville? And is that one of the reasons that people, a lot of people just seem disconnected from politics?
I think it is. There is definitely a cultural disconnect between the three bubbles that I talk about in the book, New York, Washington, and Hollywood, and the land of flyover country, or as I title it, God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy. And I think part of it is the people who live out in the heartland of America, we really know a lot about the people in the bubbles because every television show, every newscast, every movie essentially is either emanating from there or it's somehow connected. But the people who kind of create the cultural table for America from those bubbles, whether it's fashion or finance or music or entertainment, movies or television, government or politics, they don't seem to know who we are very much because they seem shocked that we live in a land where people will say, I'm praying for you. Hey, God bless you. I'll see you in church on Sunday. Or they think it's kind of strange and even frightening that people would own guns and keep them in their homes. There's a certain, I guess, lack of understanding. And when they do depict us, it's often, we're depicted as mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging Neanderthals, not as thoughtful, intelligent people who just choose to live in a very different culture.
Now, you talk about some of these reality TV shows and the way they portray people. And are we sort of being dumbed down, too, Governor, by some of the things that we're watching on TV?
Well, it's pretty evident that a lot of television gears itself toward the lowest common denominator of human intelligence. And I mentioned some exceptions, things that I think build more of a wholesome view of America and wholesome view of family and life and togetherness. Like the show about the Duggars and Duck Dynasty, which have been huge hits, and yet they reflect the traditional values of the heartland. But I don't think anybody could say that watching Jersey Shore or The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills somehow is lifting America's families and cultural values to a new high.
Let's talk about a few of the things in the book. One of the chapters, Governor, you write about the United States falling behind other nations. Is it that we're falling behind, or is it just we're going to have to work harder to stay ahead with other nations kind of, coming to the forefront and, maybe coming to where we were 20, 30 years ago?
It's a little of both, but the United States should never want to be one of many. It should desire to be the leader in the world. And I think very frustrating to many of us is to see this president whose worldview seems to be America doesn't want to be a superpower. It doesn't really want to be the leader. It just wants to be one of the guys. Well, I think that's an incredibly short-sighted view of our potential. We should always shoot for our best. But when I look at the world, I see, for example, when I went to China this past year, and my observation coming back was China is becoming more and more like we used to be, and we're becoming more and more like China used to be. This isn't a good thing. And even while China's got a long way to go to be a country where freedom reigns, they have embraced a new level of capitalism that would make Mao Zedong roll over in his grave. It is a very materialistic and capitalistic kind of culture now. They still haven't eased their foot up off the freedom of speech and freedom of expression. But then again, while they are making some strides, we're putting our foot on the necks of people and telling them to shut up and be quiet. And in the name of diversity, we're really pushing for uniformity. And in the name of tolerance, we become a very intolerant country. In the name of free speech, we have squashed free speech. And we now are pushing people in political correctness to very limited speech.
How do you, you know, you when you mentioned in your chapter on China, you talk about the infrastructure strides they're making and, you know, other investments and things. We spend a lot of money in this country, but how do you wean politicians, Governor, from both parties away from big spending or towards spending the money on things we need to spend it on, like infrastructure repair?
The problem with most federally based infrastructure repair, and frankly a lot of state-based, is that it is pushed by political interest rather than the actual infrastructure needs. And there has to be some independent process with a lot of light shining on it as to why you're doing what you're doing. Can you justify? Is this the road that really needs to be built? Are you just building one because it goes through a politician's district and that gets him to vote for the bill, or it makes his own personal land worth more because you built the road out there near where he was? There needs to be clear focus on what I would call genuine infrastructure, building the skeletal system of the economic framework of America. That's vital, whether it's airports, sewers and water supply systems, roads, bridges. That's vital, and it not only helps the what I would call the obvious economic capacity of bringing products in, products out, but there's a human capital side in that if people are stuck in traffic for hours every afternoon, that's time they're not spending hitting a baseball with their kids or sitting down with their children and helping them practice their piano or get their homework done. If they're sitting on a runway tarmac and their plane is delayed for 2 hours, that's 2 hours they're not going to be home reading a story to their kids. We don't even have a way to calculate the loss of human capital because the infrastructure needs of this country have caused a lot of families to not have the time that they really need to have with their kids.
Let's talk a couple of political things. You lament about the grenades in our tent, the infighting within the Republican Party over who or who is not conservative enough. Does that have to stop before the 2016 presidential election?
Well, it sure would be better off if it did, because we are not going to be a very effective party if we spend all the money that we could be spending to beat Democrats and instead just beat up on each other. I mean, it would be like an NFL team, instead of spending money preparing to face their opponents on the gridiron, if each player did everything he could to injure, hurt, and disable the players on his own team. That's what we have to look at, that there may be a number of people all wanting to be the quarterback. That's understandable, that it's an open position, line up for it and take your best shot and prove that you're the best on the field. But don't try to win the job by pushing one of the players, you know, into a into a fan blade and are hitting him in the knee with a hammer, disabling him, because that's not how you become a champion. And so the chapter in the book on grenades in the tent is a reminder that you can't build a strong team if the team does not work as a team. It doesn't mean you can't have rivalry, competition, but the competition ought to be so that everybody gets better, not so that you tear down the people within the team so you look better, even though you're artificially looking better, only because you tore down the people around you.
Just a couple more questions, Governor. One of them is, will you wait to see who emerges besides Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush before you make any final decisions on running yourself next year?
No, because you never make that decision based on who's in, who's out. You just have to decide whether you feel that you could offer something in terms of pragmatic and positive and effective leadership, and if you think you can do that, then get out there and make the case. Clearly, I'm moving in the direction of running, and I've always said I'll make the announcement this spring. I think for most people, they probably got a pretty good indication of where this is headed, because unlike some people who are senators, congressmen, or governors who are toying with running, even if they run, they still get their paychecks, they still have their full-time job, even though they may not be showing up for it. I left a pretty darn good gig at Fox News Channel to come out here and take this shot. So I better be serious about it, because there's no bridge back to what I was doing. And if I jump in this water, there's no turning back.
I guess you'll have to give up your radio spot if you declare, correct?
If I declare terrestrial radio, I will. I'll be able to do some things online. But the broadcast radio that I've done for a long time would, of course, have to disappear at the point of being an announced candidate.
Two more quick questions. One of them is you're in Roanoke and Lynchburg today. Do you like coming to this part of the country, this part of Bubbaville, let's say?
Well, I really do, in part because this is an area of Virginia that back in 2008 I carried. John McCain won the state, but this part of the state I actually won. So it's a strong base, strong support in this area. That's why we're looking forward to the appearances both at Barnes & Noble in Roanoke at noon and then in Lynchburg at 3 at the Barnes & Noble there, Liberty University, because we feel like that there are a lot of people in these areas who will really connect to the message of the book, God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy. And I think they will say, gosh, that's me. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm glad I'm not the only one who really thinks like this.
Yeah, that was my last question, Governor. What do you want people who read your book to come away with?
Well, I hope that people who live in those bubbles will take a look at the people out there in the land that they don't know much about and say, well, I may not still agree with those people, but maybe those good old boys aren't so dumb after all. And then I hope that the people who live in the land of God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy will feel better about what they have staked out as a way of life and not feel like that they have to be ashamed of it. If anything, be proud of it and realize if they really look around, oh, it may not be depicted on the movies and TV and reflected in the culture, but if they'll look around, they'll find out there is a whole lot of America that is more like them than it is like it is in the bubbles.
Are you on your tour bus this time?
Yes, got a bus. We'll be on it for 43 cities in about 15 days, so it's a grueling trip, but it's also wonderful to get out and meet people. There's so many nice people in America. It kind of affirms everything I said in the book. I mean, it really validates it to go out there and just shake hands, look folks in the eye, and hear back from them as I visit cities across the country.